Welcome to Red Sox Digest, the only show where pain, sarcasm, and a dash of hope collide nightly like a Trevor Story strikeout. We cover every loss, every meltdown, and yes, even the rare win with brutally honest takes and zero front office fluff. Subscribe today at RedSoxDigest.com or risk being left out in the cold like a home game in April. And now, here's the crew at Red Sox Digest.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Red Sox Digest. I am your host, Jim Delfino. I'm alongside with Nick Face. Nick, how are you doing this morning?
I'm the monkey in the middle.
Yeah. And I'm also with
I'd rather be a monkey than be a Red Sox fan right now.
Exactly. I'm also with Thayer Doyle. Thayer, how are you?
I'm well, Jim. How about yourself? Nick, good to see you.
Good to see you.
I can easily complain because the Red Sox, again, decided to lose 2 out of 3 to the San Francisco Giants. Let me start with you, Nick. What's your assessment of this 3-game series? I know you kind of picked it right, losing 2 out of 3. What are your thoughts?
I think we have to look first at our defense, plain and simple. I know Jim and I, we were chatting a little bit about the game afterwards and during the game a little bit, but second base is a revolving door. We do not have anything stable within our team and lineup that can be an anchor there. I have some theories, but right now you've seen Romy Gonzalez drop ball today, cost them runs. You saw David Hamilton. That was no better the last two games. Yes, he did hit. I'll give it to him. Romy also did give you some hit, did give you a big hit, rather, in this game. But when it comes to the defense on the whole end of this team and just mental miscues and just always feeling like they're always doing something that's going to hurt their team. They're not mentally in it. They're not focused. They make the stupidest mistakes, whether it's oversliding bases, getting picked off bases, not shortening up the bat when it's two strikes on the count to actually hit the ball, put the ball in play. Forgetting how many outs there are in innings, third base coaches waving players in when they shouldn't be, drop pop-ups. I mean, the list can go on and on and on. But we keep seeing this over and over and over and over again, and there's no change. So the biggest thing for me that stood out today was just another example here of sloppy Red Sox baseball continuing in a theater near you.
There, your take.
Just the constant inconsistency of this team from the start of the season on. You begin the season with a couple professionals. You've lost a few of them to injuries. You have traded another one away. But like Nick was saying, the plays at second base, that's what happens when you have 4A players. They've created a roster that is basically made up of platoon players, and you're going to have that inconsistent runs. We started the season winning 5, losing 4. Now we're on a nice run, but again, you see that when you have guys that are not in their defensive alignment and you just don't have major league players at the positions you need them to do. And you get that. You get guys that are trying to press too hard. You're seeing that with Duran left and right. The play at the plate, sending that runner. The third base coach sent him because he knows what's coming up behind him. You finally have an opportunity to score a run. You have to take that opportunity. And that's what's going on throughout. Offensively, defensively, they're all pressing. They're trying to do too much because they do not have professionals in their lineup that they know they can rely on.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, you take a couple things today. Obviously, the Romy Gonzalez play at second base. I mean, anybody's going to tell you that he should have had that, ball. It was in his glove. And I totally agree. But the problem is that when you start having a lineup day in and day out of utility guys that are making up the majority of your lineup each and every night and each and every day, this is bound to happen, right? It's bound to have these kind of errors because these guys aren't chemically made up to be starters. As you said, there's no professional at that position. It's just a revolving circus of different guys that you're going to put out there. And, you know, this is what Cora does all the time. And you take the play with Duran. I mean, you have Nick Eaton out there who's got zero innings at third base, I think, for the Red Sox this year. Duran has to step up, and he has to say, it's my ball. What are you doing out there? You know, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And then they wind up looking like the Three Stooges, and the ball drops. And lo and behold, it wound up leading to runs that scored. There's a surprise. And it's part of the reason why they lost this game, because you cannot let opponent teams get free outs. And then the play at the plate with Toro, I mean, look, I get it. You had Robbie Race having a great year. You want to try to steal a run if you can. But, you know, I don't know if I would have sent him or not. I don't know. What do you guys think on that,
ball,
Nick?
The ball did carry him in right field pretty awkwardly. I mean, it was pretty, like, right off the wall, right back to who was playing right field for the Giants. Was it Yastrzemski?
Yeah.
Yastrzemski.
And he threw that in pretty quickly. So it could have been one of those reads where we were trying to be over-aggressive to get the play in. I do want to make a point on the left field Jazz with Duran and Eaton on that play. I'm done with Jaron Duran in left field. I'm done. The experiment is over. This reminds me of Jacoby Ellsbury back in 2006, 7 or 8 or whatever, when we had Jay Payton in center field, and then the collision happened, and then Ellsbury was out for the – I'm just done. Duran's position, I don't even know what it is right now. I love Sedan. He had a great series this weekend. Yes, he's the better guy that's there, but this team needs more, in my opinion, Sedan Rafaela at second base if it's not going to be Trevor Story. Now, if Story is your second baseman, which I would personally do, that would be option one, then that's Marcelo Meyer's position at shortstop. But I don't think this team is going to do that. I don't think they're going to do it. So I think the only way they improve right now, if they want to make something happen at second base, is move Rafaela to second, and then use your Roman Anthony, Jaron Duran, Willier Abreu, Rob Refsnyder, who else out there in the outfield to make it work. But I'm the chapter's closed for me with Jaron Duran on left field. It's done. All set.
Fair.
It clearly, that's the left fielder's ball from high school on up. It's his responsibility to call that play. The announcers were talking about it. I agree that he's not a very good defensive outfielder, but I don't see him being any better in center field. I'm sort of contemplating, like Nick was saying, moving Rafaela to second base. Having watched him in person, I haven't seen a center fielder get a better jump on a ball since Jackie Bradley Jr. I think defensively he is superior in center field. Duran is bothering me to no end, but I don't see moving him to center being better for us. Just keep him in left field. He's got to understand it, start to learn the position. But that sort of goes back to that inconsistency we were talking about. He's an individual who presses and puts a lot of pressure on himself. And this is not an environment that is going to be conducive to him being successful. We saw that when he came up when he was younger. He put a lot of pressure on himself, made errors in center field, and everything started to steamroll. The last couple of years have been, we'll say, a little bit more consistent for him, and he was in a much better place, constantly hitting leadoff and playing all the time, and things were going well for him, and he was successful. But now, having lost Devers, he feels like he's the face. I really struggle to think he's going to be as successful as he's been in the past with us. And I think at second base, it's got to be, if not Meyer, I think it should be Story. I agree with Nick. Story should be your second baseman because Meyer's your shortstop for the future. Unless what I worry about is if they're going to platoon him, this constant platooning, then he can't be your everyday shortstop. You can't have Story go back and forth. If they're going to leave Meyer in and let him play against all comers, then he's your shortstop. If they're going to continue with the platooning, then you move Meyer to second base and Story stays your shortstop for this year.
Yeah, it's a good point about that. I wanted to kind of like dive into that. Here you go, another day, another left-handed starter. And of course, right away, I'm a Refsnyder guy. Everybody knows that. I tweet every time he does something good. I love Rob Refsnyder. I think he's one of the best fourth outfielders in the game, offensively at least. But I've said this 1,000 times if I've said it once. If your future revolves around Roman Anthony, Marcelo Mayer, and possibly Christian Campbell, we can't keep platooning these guys and never giving them a chance against left-handed pitching. Now, today, you have Anthony in right, you have him batting second, and you put Duran batting fifth, which I think is absolutely really, really strange. Okay. He's been your leadoff hitter for 3 years now, and now all of a sudden you're gonna go ahead and put him in the middle of the order, which I think is absolutely really strange. If anything, I don't understand why you just don't leave him at the leadoff spot and put Refsnyder batting second. To me, at least you get an opportunity with Duran maybe getting on, maybe even stealing a base. And then Refsnyder, who's supposed to be obviously one of your best bats against left-handed pitching. Granted, he had two homers today, but you figure maybe he's going to get a hit and you can be up 1-0 after that. So I just find it really, really odd and bizarre to actually lead off the game with Refsnyder. And the second part about all that is you're putting Mayer on the bench in lieu of Nate Eaton, who is a journeyman infielder that you're bringing up because you moved Devers. I just don't understand Cora's logic behind this.
I think a lot of it stems from just he loves to tinker. He loves to feel like he's the professor in the end of the day, that he has all the answers to everything from the textbook. I think our real problem here, I think the two of you will probably agree with me on this, we really don't have a true number two guy now, a number three guy, a number four guy, a number five guy, a number six, a number seven. Maybe we have a lot of eights and nines, but I guess a lot of this has to stem with, how do you make up a lineup card with guys that are cast-offs, that are platoon 101 guys? You know, you got your Refsniders and your Romies who rake against lefties. That's great. But then you have your other guys, your Willie Abreus. You got to figure out where he's sliding in. You got to figure out now where Roman Anthony's going to hit. Is it too much pressure to keep him up the top, or do you have to drop him down? Marcelo Mayer's one in the same category here. Where are you going to put him? Trevor Story, I mean, you'll have your ups and downs, more downs than ups, but it's a joke. You're hitting Carlos Navarez as your four guy. That shouldn't happen here. This is the Boston Red Sox. It shouldn't happen. I'm happy for him. Don't get me wrong. Carlos Navarez has been a revelation for this team. Revelation. Where would we even be without him right now? Well, we'd be crying our eyes out because Connor Wong would be behind the plate. So I guess the major thing here stems with probably Cora's trying to get a spark out of something in the middle of his lineup when he probably knows he's got nothing. We got nothing now.
There.
I totally agree. Like we were saying, it goes back to the roster constitution. They failed in the offseason to fully put together any sort of, how would I say this? System-wide sort of roster. They had Devers. They had Bregman. You had Story. And then you had a bunch of kids. And you were hoping that your first baseman, Costas, is going to be ready to roll, but you have nothing behind them. You come up with Wong, hoping he's going to be there. Navarez was a wonderful pickup, but I got news for you. He's a rookie. He hasn't played a lot of baseball. He's going to have a lot of bright future things for us, but he's going to hit the wall. Come the All-Star break and beyond, he's not going to be as successful. I'm sorry. So they're relying on these guys that are not major leaguers. And Cora, do I agree with all of his moves? No. But at the same time, he's kind of, you know, it goes back to the old wheel of gutless bums with the bullpen that they used to have to do. Now, they're not gutless bums. They're players who are doing bums. I'm not even going to call them bums because they're guys that are being put into situations where they are not going to succeed. Refs, like Toro is being great. Romy is great. They are fine. Like you say, as your third and fourth guys off the bench, the last guys on your roster, those are guys you want to see. Those are guys that are going to give everything they have. But when they have to play every day or four out of six days a week, they are going to get exposed and they are going to break down. And that is exactly what's going to happen and is already starting to happen. And it's not their fault, and it's not Cora's fault. It is the individuals that put this roster together.
Yeah. You got a $200 million payroll, and today's lineup included Ref Schneider, who makes nothing, Roman Anthony, who makes nothing, Romy Gonzalez, who makes nothing, Willy Abreu, who makes nothing, Carlos Narvaez, who makes nothing, Jaren Duran, who makes almost nothing, Meyer, who makes nothing, Story's $25 million, Toro makes nothing, Rafaela, $6-8 million, and Nate Eaton, that makes nothing. Where's the $200 million? Mm-hmm. You know? And I get it. Okay, the Bregman thing and so forth, he's hurt. But boy, oh boy, when, again, you're trotting out a lineup like that, and it scores five runs, and you can't expect to win 85 to 90 games if you're going to do this each and every night.
Exactly.
We have some good communication with some people that have been, I don't know if you've noticed on the side here, but they've been chiming in on some positional depth. I just want to do, I think it's Wano, who said that second base spot is too hard to fill since Dustin Pedroia. Yes, I couldn't agree more on that. The only other true professional that the Red Sox had at one point was 2018 when Ann Kinsler came here, and that was just a failure. It was Brock Holt ended up becoming that guy at second base. And then there's some other guys that are there's more comments saying, you know, you have Alex Bregman at third, Marcelo Meyer at short, Trevor Story at second with Rafaela. We're getting that. And then another person up there, Rob, saying that I don't think it's just Cora. It's an organizational decision regarding the lineup. And I agree with that. I think a lot of the calls that are coming in for roster management are coming from Breslow. I'm sure there's some fighting back and forth on, are you serious? Why are we doing this? I think it is coming from up top. The statistician nerds, your analytical guys who care more about launch angle and how much spin the ball is having from their pitcher. That's what this team was built on. And it's a colossal disaster organizationally.
And from that standpoint, sorry to interrupt him. When you think about it, that Ref Schneider and Gonzalez are going to dominate against left-handed hitters. That's what pitchers. That's why they're in there. So Cora is going to put them at the top of your lineup because you're not guaranteeing a second time through with the lefty. So you have them in the first inning, and hopefully, you know, you think about the way you set your lineups up. Now, baseball has changed where the three hitter used to be your best hitter. Now they put it in the two spot because they want them to get the most at bats, period, in the game. So they're looking at it as having Ref Schneider and Romy hitting against that lefty. You're lucky to get them through twice the way the pitchers work now. So you want them at the top of your lineup, which moves Duran back down to the bottom, to the middle of your lineup. So it's all an analytical aspect of what they're thinking of it too. Because if you're putting him fourth or fifth, he may only see the lefty once. And then you're stuck somewhere around the fifth inning having to pinch hit for him with the lefty lineups.
The problem with this analytics crap is the fact that I have a really hard time believing it's working. I mean, when you really look back at, obviously, not only just the championship years, they were at least in the top five, if not the top three, in spending.
Love Red Sox Digest? And stop freeloading and subscribe already. Free subscribers get recaps, rants, and the occasional emotional breakdown, just like Craig Breslow with the trade deadline. Upgrade to a paid subscription and unlock the full archive. Subscriber-only game breakdowns, behind-the-scenes audio rants, exclusive mailbag Q&As, plus live chat and post-game streams where we scream into the void together. And if you're a true sicko, become a founding member and we'll put you on the podcast. That's right, a guest appearance on Red Sox Digest. Hit subscribe. It's cheaper than Fenway beer and way more satisfying.
The problem that I'm having with these last 3 years is that they've been hugely analytics driven and they have nothing to show for it. You know, you have an extra wild card that has been added to Major League Baseball and they haven't qualified for that yet. They've been out all 3 years of it. So I just don't know why they think that trotting these guys out on a daily basis is going to be the answer. Again, I keep going back to guys like Mayer. If he's going to be your shortstop of the future, you've got to let him have at-bats against left-handed starting pitching. If you're not going to do that, to Thayer's point, he's nothing more than another guy who's going to be a platoon player. And why is he here then? I understand you got an injury, but let him play. He needs to play every day, every single day. You can't have him come in and just be a defensive replacement or be a pinch runner. Just can't do it.
It's ruining the development. And this is what scares me here with these guys. We've been hearing, and Jim and I, we talked about this this week. We've talked ad nauseum about the big three, the big four, the big five since 2022. We've talked about this for a long time. It scares me to death right now, anybody who is a prospect, who is coming up to learn from the organization here to be a baseball player and play in major leagues. Because we have seen now for over 3+ seasons that it is a failure. They are failing these guys and putting them into situations where they're probably not going to recover from. I mean, we're very, very lucky that Jaron Duran, after his disaster of 2022, when he just stood there, where's the ball? Where's the ball? And we got 2023 success after the Adam Duvall injury. And we mentioned that on the last show. And then 2024, of course, the all-star season from him last year. We're so lucky on that. But to see anything more of this come out for your Roman Anthony's, your Marcelo Myers, we already failed with Christian Campbell. We already failed. I'm scared for this kid now.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to take until big changes are made with this team from the top. In order to do that, there has to be significant change to change the approach that these players are getting coached under.
Switching gears a little bit to the pitching, Lucas Giolito, who has been as hot and cold as running water this season, you know, he whittled his way through 6 innings today, 4 runs, 2 earned, 5 strikeouts, and the 2 home runs. What are your thoughts on him moving forward in this rotation? Do you think he's going to be better than 500, or you think he's going to continue to be a hot and cold starter for us? Start with you, Thayer.
I think it's going to be a lot of the inconsistencies, pretty much like the rest of the team. I think he's starting to learn how to pitch instead of just being a thrower. He has some good innings where he's using his brain. He's thinking appropriately. When he works off the fastball and puts it into places he needs to, he's, I wouldn't say dominant, but he's a well above average pitcher. When he gets stuck into just trying to spin the ball, sort of like they've been doing. And also, he's still coming off of an injury. He's a guy that's halfway through being out for an entire year. It's not just going to revert back to the way it was. You're going to have situations where you just don't have it. And the last couple of games, he's been pretty decent. He's been better than he has been earlier in the year. But I think it's going to, again, pretty much like everything, and I hate to sound like a broken record, is they're putting all of their money into reclamation projects and guys that are coming off of injuries and, you know, this idea of, oh, he's going to be what he was. It just doesn't happen physically like that for baseball players. They are creatures of habit. They really need consistency. They need to understand what they're doing. And in this hodgepodge system that the Red Sox have, it's not good for the young players nor the veterans, where, oh, am I going to get this many innings? Am they going to ask me to do it this way? You know, I've heard a lot of people talking about the pitching approach. Instead of pitching to the pitcher's strengths, the Red Sox love to pitch to the deficiencies of the batters. And that doesn't work. You just cannot do it. You have to pitch to your pitcher's strengths. You have to get them in a sort of a consistent vein of understanding what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it. And when they're not doing it, it's what you sort of see. I think Giolito's starting to understand what he needs to do. And if they let him sort of muddle his way through, he'll be okay. I know there was a lot of talk today. I sort of saw in our war room, they're talking about pulling him too early. His velocity was going down. That fifth inning, he got bombed for 2 home runs. He got out of 6 well. But, you know, coming around to that sort of, again, it's the psychological piece. He came out of that game, I believe it was tied when he came out, and then the bullpen sort of gave it all up. Actually, you know, the line drive to second led to it all going down the tubes. But that was sort of the thing. They need to build his confidence, and I think he's going to be okay.
Nick?
I was in the camp of extending Giolito one more inning. I was. I'm getting real tired of pitchers can only throw 80 pitches in a game. I'm all set with it. You're going to burn your bullpen's arms off. You are. I just think we're setting our team up to fail if our starter, who at least had a little bit something left in the tank, I'm not saying it could have been pretty, but I think you at least start the seventh with Giolito in there and see how it goes. Have Weissert up, have somebody else ready to go, and that wasn't the case here. I would have at least attempted it because, yes, it was four runs, but only two of those were earned. I know they were the home run and everything there. So I would have stretched out Giolito there a little bit more. I know he's coming off the Tommy John and everything, but you know what? For the most part, he's coming off a really good start against the Mariners. Build upon that. I think the team kind of let him down today with the costly errors, and Giolito should have had the win. Let's be if we didn't have those stupidity errors today. Giolito could have very, very easily had the win from tonight.
Well, I think to both your points, you know, getting a little bit more out of your starting pitching, you know, as you go along is paramount. I mean, look at Crochet, you know, we're getting Crochet up over 100 pitches now an outing, you know, you know, between 95 and 100 and something, and 102 pitches per outing. So yeah, you have to start extending these guys. The other part of it is the rest of this bullpen. I'm starting to lose even more confidence than I've ever had in them, because I think, again, it goes back to Thayer's point about putting people and players into positions that make them excel and win and do better. And if you're Greg Weissert and you're closing one night and then you come in the seventh at another, you know, I mean, where is his headspace at? Zach Kelly? I think I'm done with Zach Kelly. Okay. I tweeted that earlier today.
That pitcher. You didn't hear this?
You know,
he's got pitchers with Cora and Henry.
He must, because I'll tell you right now, I love his stuff, but it's not lovable stuff. He gets hit and gets hit hard, and I have absolutely no faith in him when he comes in that he's going to be able to get through an inning. He's got his ERA is 5.85 now. I mean, at what point do you wave the white flag on Zach Kelly?
Oh, I've waved it far, far too long. It's still waving. But this, I guess to the point here, what else do we have in Worcester? What else? Brian Mata, is that a name? Maybe that's somebody that can come up. We just got rid of Penroyd. I think he's still around. Yeah, witness protection program. Yep. We just got rid of Penroyd for John Henry's third or fourth or fifth yacht. So those cash considerations just went right down the old pipe. We just don't have anybody.
Switching.
That's what you get.
Switching gears again. There's people on Twitter that have said that we have enough starting pitching. Hunter Dobbins, our rookie sensation, has been placed on the IL today with forearm strain tightness, which smells like a potential Tommy John. We'll see how that goes. He's had it already, I think, in college, so we don't necessarily know until we get an MRI report back, or this is a phantom injury just to kind of get him out of there. But Dick Fitz is back. So
I'm sorry. I just every time that name is just said, I just laugh. The poor guy.
Yeah. Oh. It's tough when your parents don't like you. So anyway, yeah. He's going to be back into the rotation, because I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about, before we close out, a little bit of the upcoming series starting tomorrow against the Los Angeles Angels, who own us, at least in 2025. We've got Walker Buehler, and he's going to be against Kochanowicz.
I feel so good about that one.
Yeah, Jack Kochanowicz, if that's pronounced correctly. 3-8 with a 5.38 and a WHIP of 1.5. Strangely enough, that's pretty evenly matched. You've got Crochet against Tyler Anderson. Anderson's 2-5 with a 4.56 and a WHIP of 140. And then we're going to finish it off. Was supposed to be Dobbins. I suppose is going to be Fitz in that game against Kikuchi, who is 2-6, but an ERA of 3 and a WHIP of 1.4. What are your reactions to what are your thoughts how this series is going to go? Thayer, you first.
Well, we know that seeing two lefties, we're probably not going to see much of Anthony or Meyer. So you're going to see the right-handed lineup. I think when I think of Tyler Anderson, I think of Yarbrough against the Yankees, a guy that we should destroy. However, Yarbrough managed to get away with one game where he didn't sort of get hammered. I'd like to think we win that game. I think the offense should be able to do what it needs to do. The Angels are an interesting team. They're kind of like us. They're made up of a bunch of 4A players, and they play hard, but they're inconsistent. They make errors. Kikuchi has been a guy that we've had success against in the past. I'm going to say 2 out of 3. We probably lose to Buehler start. However, the way we've been so inconsistent, Buehler may come out, and this may be his time to throw a gem. And he could come out and stand the Angels on their ears, and we sweep the series. But I think it's going to be 2 out of 3, the Red Sox.
Nick.
I can't have faith in Walker Buehler right now. I can't. I hope he's watching this, because then he can hear us say that the faith is not there. And maybe he'll just go out and shove tomorrow night. Reminding our fans at home, it is a late night game again, around 9:40-ish time. I think the Red Sox lose game one. That's my thought on that. I think the game one will be looking likely like a loss. I think Tuesday, obviously with Crochet, I'm happy with that. I have confidence there. I think we can get the win there. I think it's going to come down to the Wednesday game. And depending upon who shows up with the left-hander with Kikuchi going, I think we'll have to kind of wait and see on it. But I kind of like to go. I kind of like 2 out of 3, like Thayer said. I think we lose the Monday game. The Tuesday game, I'll go with the win, and then Wednesday, I'll go with another win too.
Yeah, I'm
Rob,
on the same.
Sorry to interrupt, real quick, Jim. Rob just said it in the chat. Ron Washington just left the team for medical reasons as well. So there's no telling sort of what state the Angels are going to be in currently.
Okay. That's true too. To your guys' point, I'm going to go with the 2 out of 3 victory as well. I can't believe I'm going to say it, because I still think there's an option there that the Angels win 2 out of 3, but I have confidence in the Crochet start. And see, that's one of the things that you don't have with this team over the last couple of years, is confidence to say who's starting. When it's Pedro starting that night, when it was Chris Sale starting that night, you know, Kurt Schilling, you know, John Lester, when you had those guys starting, you just basically checked the box that you were going to win that game, and you were shocked if you didn't. So he fits that bill for me, obviously, with this team. So, and to Thayer's point, Anderson is kind of a journeyman. We should be able to hit him pretty well. The fact that he is the left-hander, we'll have the Rob Refschneider lineup going, so he'll be probably leading off again. But I will take that game. To Nick's point, Buehler, it's obviously like a box of chocolates with him. And hopefully he is listening, but you know, Walker, you've got an ERA of 22 in the last 7 days, so you may want to try to see if we could find a way to button that up a little bit. And then, of course, if Dick Fitz is going to be pitching on Wednesday, you know, he's had a pretty good season. I mean, he hasn't been a complete, you know, a loss. He's been pleasantly surprising, along with Dobbins. The thing is with Kikuchi, he could certainly be troublesome for us. And then obviously, you know, keep in mind that you'll have the Rob Refschneider right-handed lineup going. It's hard to say. I think if they can hit Kikuchi, they'll win 2 out of 3. So it's a toss-up on the Buehler and probably Fitz game, but I'm going to go 2 out of 3 as well. Any final comments before we wrap up tonight?
I think it's a shame that these games are going to be happening so late on the West Coast, because I see fireworks. This is going to be an offensive display with probably an incredible lack of defensive abilities. You know, this will not be a Tom Mamansky, you know, training video defensively for either team. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see tomorrow and maybe on Wednesday double digits.
Interesting point, Nick.
Yeah, I would love to say it would be a high scoring kind of game, but I guess outside of Friday night, I really haven't seen much of that from the Red Sox. So I don't know what we're going to get. I mean, maybe it's 5-6 runs. I see a couple people over here saying that they should score. I mean, in theory, yes, you should score. But the frustrating point here with this team is there's way too many strikeouts. They don't get the job done consistently. I want to get into that point when saying, yeah, a bad starter or whatnot is going to be throwing. We should be able to take advantage of it. But I don't know if that's going to be the case. So we'll evaluate. We'll see what happens from the series. In theory, it sounds good.
Yeah. Thanks.
But we gotta see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'd like to wrap up today. Thank you very much, Nick and Thayer, for being on with us. My name is Jim. This is Red Stock Digest. And please go ahead and take a look at our digital product on redstockdigest.com. Sign up for a free subscription to our daily and weekly articles about the Red Sox and about the league. Have a good night, and go Sox for tomorrow night. Bye-bye.